The Burt Show.
I don't know about you guys. I mean, I love kids, but I also know that I don't get very excited about being invited to a kid's birthday party. Okay? That feels one that's more out of obligation than anything else. Kaylee's got a friend who's kind of upset, though, that they weren't invited.
It's not my friend. It's my friend's wife. And let me say, when I first found out my wife, Erin, was pregnant, and this was many, many years ago with our first child, my first response was, I don't want to go to kids' birthday parties. That was like what I initially said, because right. I don't.
Some of them know how to host them right, though. Like, Kristen, you do it right, for sure.
Oh, we got booths for the parents. We know y'all don't want to be there. we try to keep it fair.
And they're usually from like, I mean, there's only like an hour and a half, 2 hours long before the kids start to have meltdowns. You do it right.
I mean, if I can drop off and pick up later, I'm happy because that's like a free babysitter. and they get fed, too. So, no, my friend and my friend's wife are kind of at a, you know, they're beefing because apparently they were not invited to what they would call a good friend's kid's birthday party. Now, they have kids. My friend didn't even know about it. Like, he paid no attention to social media. But when all the posts started coming out, his wife felt some certain way about it, because as the picture started rolling out, she started seeing the people that were there and then going, this is a slap in the face. Like, why weren't we invited?
So was she more insulted that she wasn't invited, even though she didn't want to go, or she really would have wanted to be there?
As the mom, even though you don't want to go, you know, and it's not that the dads don't care about their kids. You all do. But we feel more empathy on behalf of our child that our child was not invited to set party.
Got it. Okay, was that the problem here?
No.
This one was first.
Well, I mean, this isn't my situation, but okay. I mean, so.
I'd still slide in. I'd be mad.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Would you?
Oh, absolutely.
So,
I'd be mad.
I'd call it a lucky break.
Me too.
That's exactly what he said. He's like, it's a non-issue. Right. Like, great, thank you. Maybe they did me a favor, because, you know, he's really close with the husband, and I think through that relationship is how the wives got to be, you know, decent friends. But for him, it's a non-issue. He's like, they did me a favor, and that's how I would feel. The kids don't, like, the ages don't exactly match up, but there were, like, apparently friends who had, like, way older kids that had no business even being there. Huh. Like, so
it would be like your girlfriend Amanda throwing Asa a birthday party and inviting Cassie and her kids and not me.
Yeah, that tracks.
And not me.
And no, not I understand, because everybody's so tight.
Yes.
Now, in this particular situation, so all of them were tight like that also, and she can't figure out why her kid wasn't invited?
Yeah, and he says, well, if it's that big of a deal, then reach out and say something. But she feels that he should be just as upset as her. And I say, hold on one second. No, I would never tell anybody. Is that gaslighting, if you try to tell somebody how they should feel or make them not? Or I thought that was scan of energy. Is that kind of what that is?
I mean, gaslighting, there's a little more in depth, but if not validating somebody's feelings and like turning it around, and that, then that's more gaslighting. But okay.
And saying, this is how I feel, so you should feel the same way. It's just really unfair.
Well, that's kind of what she's kind of doing to him, I guess, because while he's not going to tell her how she should feel, if you want to be upset about it, that's your right to. But don't try to make me mad and make this non-issue an issue. When he don't care.
Mm-hmm. No, and I do agree with that. Like, if that's how he feels, and that's how he feels, and she shouldn't force him to feel something that he's not feeling. However, but if I was her, I wouldn't be mad. I'd be annoyed that he wasn't more bothered by the fact that we got, you know, dissed from this birthday party. But I wouldn't make a huge deal out of it, because I could so see Bart and I. Like, this is a classic, like, Bart and KK. He's very, like, practical, middle of the road. Sometimes I wonder if the man even has feelings. So, you know, I, of course, would be all up in arms about it. And he'd be like, hey, it's a party we didn't have to go to. We'd have to buy a gift. Woohoo.
Right, right. And that's...
The real issue here, though, is why they weren't invited. Yes. It's not so much that they should be offended by it, but there's got to be a lingering issue on why all these lesser friends...
And I thought about that, too. Yeah. So... Are you that petty where you're going to reach out and go, why weren't we invited?
No, absolutely
no,
not.
No, like then you look like a little biatch.
Exactly.
Using your analogy, if there was a party for Amanda's son and and Cassie was invited and you weren't, which would be totally out of left field, you would never mention that?
No.
Really?
Well, because who knows? It could be something so trivial and stupid like...
Your Evi got lost or got sent to spam.
Or, you know, we really had like, you know, people put caps on parties. And if they show up four, and they're four deep, too. Mm-hmm. So there's four of them. So you're showing up with the parents, five extra people. So maybe they don't want to feed five extra people, and it's as simple as that.
I would think that that couple likes me more if they didn't invite me.
That's what I said.
It's a compliment.
That's a compliment. I said. They love me.
Thank you for respecting my time.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
If you have ever had a negative thought or comment about Taylor Swift's dating history, I need you to take all of that vitriol and put it on Zach Bryan, because that's how I'm feeling this morning about him and his girlfriend Brianna Chicken Fries relationship. Now, if you're like, Abby, is he in a relationship with a fast food restaurant? No, he was dating this girl named Brianna Chicken Fry, which is her nickname. She worked for Barstool Sports, so she kind of has like that quirky personality, that quirky persona. And they got together in July of last year. And I will say, from what I could tell, it seems like they've had a pretty serious and committed relationship. They got a dog together that they named Boston. There was even a feud online not too long ago about Brianna kind of like abandoning her co-host and best friend of like 10 or 15 years, Grace, for this guy, Zach. Like, she wanted to leave New York, which is where she and her best friend lived, and basically moved to like Massachusetts to live with Zach and just live out like this wag dream of following him around for his career and, you know, reprioritizing what's going on in her life. And so now she doesn't have this boyfriend anymore because they are broken up as of this week. And she says she is totally blindsided by it. So she posted a video to the internet yesterday where she basically said, "We broke up yesterday. I woke up this morning thinking that we were keeping this totally private." And he posted a statement on his Instagram story saying that there was so much love and respect for each other, but they're not together anymore. And she had no idea that he was going to go public with it. And I think I know why.
So she knew that they were broken up.
Yes.
She just didn't know that he was going to say something about it.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. You got to be on the same page about that when you're a celebrity couple.
Exactly. Right. And so she got on an Instagram yesterday, or she posted a video to her socials and basically just posted the most heartbreaking and relatable thing that said, "I wish I could have handled this as a person before I was a celebrity."
How can you give every ounce of yourself to someone and then like be discarded of in a few days? It's really, really heartbreaking. And I don't want to talk about details right now. I don't want to talk about it yet. I will, obviously, but right now, like, I wanted to heal privately, and I didn't even know that he was gonna post that. And we broke up yesterday, so I wasn't ready to do anything publicly, and now I'm just getting like a bajillion friggin' texts and like, I wanted to just handle this as a human first.
She's heartbroken, clearly.
Yeah, at some point or another, they should have talked about this, and they should have talked about how he was going to... He had to say something. At some point or another, there's so many paparazzi around, and when they start to not see you guys together, then they start to speculate, right? So something had to be said, but the truth of the matter is, he should have told her, like, "I'm doing this tomorrow."
But, I mean, yeah, something has to be said, but, dude, it's not even 24 hours. Like, the body's not even cold yet.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, he wanted people to know.
Yeah.
Something's up.
Uh-huh. And I'll tell you why I think he decided to post something so soon. Because, to an extent, like, I think you have a point there. Like, there's celebrities at some point, the paparazzi, and people are going to pick up on it, especially because he's a songwriter. So maybe, you know, he puts out a song in 3 months and it's like, oh, wow, our relationship ended. And people are like, okay, what's going on? So essentially what I think went down is that he has already been spotted on Raya. And I think basically somehow his people got wind of the fact that he was on this celebrity dating app. And he's like, okay, well, I've got to come out so I don't look like a cheater, because if people see me on Raya and I'm talking to all these girls and swiping right and getting matches, it's better for me, still think it's selfish, it's better for me to come out on my Instagram story and say that our relationship has ended rather than to look like I'm stepping out on Brianna. So really bummed for her. I'm also very curious to see how her friendship situation is going to go down. So she hosts a podcast with her best friend Grace, and they recently had a lot of drama with the fact that Brianna was kind of becoming less attached to her friendship and her podcast. And I'm so wondering from y'all's perspective, like, if you're a friend and you feel like your friend has kind of ditched you for a relationship, are you waiting for them to come back and apologize before you kind of mend fences? Or are you going to see how heartbroken your friend is and make the first move to start, like, reestablishing that friendship?
If this is like obviously a very close friend, and I saw that post, I would reach out to her.
Of course.
I would reach out to her.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, people build a resume with you, and you want to give them, and yeah, she probably made some mistakes and she got caught up in the lifestyle and got caught up with the boyfriend. And, you know, and I've had friends that have fallen head over heels and like disappeared. And I was that friend at one point in time with a guy. So I think there's room for forgiveness and growth. Now, if it's repetitive behavior, then that's a different story. But if this is like a one-off and a learning experience, I think you got to give people grace so they can make mistakes and learn.
I know. And I was a big fan of their podcast. So I'm hoping to see them regenerate the chemistry they had before. And I'm also ready for the tea. I want to know what he did.
Oh, yeah.
All right. An A-list rapper is livid after someone called Child Protective Services on her and her family. I'm going to tell you how she's retaliating on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
There is Rich, and then there is Taylor Swift Rich. Some perspective.
Yes, I had kind of an interesting experience with my dad a couple of weeks ago when we went shopping. My parents didn't grow up with, like, a lot, and now they're in a different phase of their life where they have, like, a little bit more of disposable income. And my dad went to go get this really expensive watch that he was so excited to get. And it was this interesting experience because I, you know, look at him, and I'm like, whatever, just get the watch. Like, this is no big deal for you. And he looked at me, and he said, it doesn't matter how much money I have in the bank, no matter what stage of my career I get to, I will always shake a little bit when I pass that credit card over to get a big purchase. And I thought, well, that's pretty interesting, but like, what if you're like a billionaire? And so when I saw this video about Taylor Swift and how money makes sense for her bank account, like how much an iPhone realistically costs for her when she purchases something and what it looks like for that to leave her bank account, It was sobering. This is from allegedly speaking on TikTok.
So I recently found out Taylor Swift's POV on money. So essentially what this means is that I'm taking her annual salary based on her net worth and comparing it to her purchasing regular items in life. A $1,200 iPhone costs Taylor Swift, guess how much?
$1,200 iPhone, $5.
$1.87. Lululemon leggings. Those are very nice, high quality. It usually runs you about $98 for a pair of good Lululemon workout leggings.
Okay, based on what I just found out about the iPhone,
guess how much those cost her?
30 cents.
11 cents.
11 cents for my favorite Lululemon legging. I have to, like, think to myself for a second if I'm going to buy a sweet treat from Starbucks.
No, I don't know. This is where it starts to get interesting. A 2024 Toyota RAV4 is $28,675. Pretty good bang for your buck for a really good quality car. For Taylor to go purchase this car today, it will feel like she's missing $32.66 out of her account.
That's crazy.
A dinner for two at Nobu Malibu generally will run you
$3. Oh, sorry. Yeah, what?
Definitely run you about $700 for two. That's an expensive dinner for two, okay?
So that's going to be about $10. For Tay-Tay, it'll cost her 81 cents.
If you're wondering, she's worth $1.6 billion now.
Insane. Damn. With music alone.
Did you say that's based off her annual income or her net worth?
Her net worth.
Okay, yeah. That's and crazy. That's why billionaires, you're nothing like them.
No, okay. Not even close. I remember having this very same thought. I think I've told you guys before that years ago, I was in Vegas and for a weekend when I lived out in California. And for whatever reason, we got tickets to a Jay Leno show. I think the host that I was on the radio show with was a big Jay Leno fan, because it's not normally something I would get. Anyway, we're walking through Caesars to get to Jay Leno's show, and there are 5-6 people deep around like what looks like this private room. You could see inside of it, but you couldn't get to it because whoever was in there was super, super VIP. And as I walked by, being 5'4", kind of snuck my way to the front, you know, and it was Michael Jordan right
whoa.
There.
Oh, wow.
With all these chips, like up to his like forehead. I mean, he is surrounded. It's a fortress of chips. And by the time I got out of Jay Leno and I went back, the same crowd was there. I worked my way up again and he didn't have nearly as many chips. it was probably down to like the last three levels. And I had the thought at the time, how much money does Michael Jordan have to lose before he calls his wife and says, I got bad news for you, man. I lost blank amount of money. I don't know what that is, but the dude also is a billionaire. So I don't know if he has to call his wife at all, but if he does, what is that number? Is it $250,000 where she's going to be like, I can't believe you spent $250,000.
Nah, it's more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely at least a million. I don't think Jordan is even sweating if it's not a million.
Yeah.
Probably not even for a million.
I'm guessing he's not even checking in with her.
No.
But if it was a different kind of relationship, at one point, most people, like if a guy loses money, you're calling your wife with your tail between your legs and you're going, oh, God, I know you're going to kill me, but I lost $1,500.
He's worth like $3.5 billion. Those are pennies to him.
Yes.
My favorite stat to drop on people is, if you were to take a million and put it into like a million seconds, it works out to be like 11 days worth of time, right? A billion seconds, like these people are billionaires, 32 years, right? So just showing you how much the difference is between a million and a billion. Like it's numbers you can't even fathom.
Yeah. And I think because we look at contracts of celebrities and we see like athletes signing these 10-year deals for $200 million, that when you hear a figure like $1 million, you're like, just $1 million? That's a tremendous amount of money.
I went back and forth with myself on if I should buy a $30 shirt the other day. That was my struggle of the day.
The Burt Show.
This is your two-minute warning. All right, we've been telling you guys for a couple of weeks now, we are selling raffle tickets for a brand new Audi, a 2024 Q3 Audi. Thank you, Atlanta Audi, for hooking us up also. And all the money is going to Burt's Big Adventure. It's $100 per raffle ticket. This is the trip we take down to Disney World every year with kids that have chronic and terminal illnesses. The raffle is over later on today.
You have 11 hours and 20 minutes.
Okay, so you have been properly warned. All this money goes to Burt's Big Adventure. Yes, it is a tax write-off. Today is the last day, so buy your tickets at burtsbigadventure.org. All right, so here we are in spooky season right now. It is Halloween, and you think you're so brave, don't you? Because you line up all your spooky movies, and you almost laugh at them. But are they truly horror movies or not?
Time to get spooky once again with Rebecca. This is all I do, my spooky little movies. So this past Friday, Bert, you were wondering whether or not the classic movie Jaws mm-hmm. is a horror or a thriller movie.
Now, when I watched that thing at 6 years old, I could tell you it was a horror movie. I didn't want to go to the bathroom. I didn't want to go to a pool. I didn't want to go to the sink for a drink of water for fear a shark would come out of there. Nothing.
See, and I feel it's more a thriller than it is a horror movie.
Looking back at it, but when you're that age, damn.
So Kristen came to me, the horror freak, and was like, are there more titles like this where people really debate what they should be labeled? And the answer is yes. There is a ton of horror umbrella movies that people are always controversially debating. Is this a horror or is this a thriller? So I took 10 titles and I brought it to the experts, the r/ horror subreddit on Reddit, and they were not happy that I gave them homework, but they still filled out a poll for each movie.
You actually, this is very scientific, Rebecca. This I'm
very
impressed.
This is very Reddit.
Yeah.
I love Reddit. Yeah. I took it to them and I asked the general horror fan population whether or not they would give each of these classic horror/thriller movies the title of horror or thriller.
Okay.
And to add a little spice, I pulled a scream from each of these movies to help you decide whether this is a horrifying scream or a thrilling scream.
This is the most Rebecca thing I've heard this morning.
You went in. Okay.
So first up is Jaws.
At the time, it was horrifying.
Yeah.
That's the opening scene.
Oh, man.
Looking at that shark today.
Yeah.
That's a thriller. I don't think it's scary.
It's not. I think I said this also that when they made that movie, you actually only see Jaws for like 23 seconds in that movie because mechanically it was so bad. It's more of a psychological thriller than it is anything else.
So I think it's important that we have a distinction of the definitions. So a horror movie is a film that is intended to evoke fear, dread, or disgust in the viewer.
Jaws.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Under that definition, I would say, yeah.
That turned me around.
Now, a thriller is often a villain-driven plot whereby they present obstacles that the protagonist or hero must overcome.
Oh, that shark was a villain.
Wait a minute. That shark was a
villain. It could go either way.
Can't they be both? Can't it be a thrilling horror film? Not on this show.
No.
I'm going to have to say thriller.
I'm going thriller.
I'm going with the crowd thriller.
Thriller. Okay, thriller all across. The subreddit voted 90%. Thriller.
Yeah.
Jaws is officially a thriller.
What do they know?
Next up, Silence of the Lambs.
There's one guy in there that was only given half-ass right there.
That
one?
Sorry, that was me. I stubbed my toe.
What? There are a lot of horrifying screams there. There's one guy in there. I was like, hey, will you give us your horrifying? He's like, okay.
That's Buffalo Bill.
Don't you know that scene? That's when he's mocking her.
Oh, is he? Yeah. No, I had never seen the movie.
What?
Wow. I don't watch these movies, man. Yeah. Oh,
You've never seen Silence of the Lambs?
Oh, boy.
It's really good, and it stands the test of time. I am going to say horror.
I'm definitely going horror for that one.
I was horrified, so horror.
It's a thriller.
He cuts off somebody's face and puts it on his own.
No, it's thrilling.
I'd go with horror based on what these guys are saying.
Go
ahead.
By 64%, Silence of the Lambs has been voted a thriller.
No.
You heard it from the experts.
Yes, I am.
And Bert, you've got to watch it. It's one of the best movies of all time.
You know, Tommy, I don't.
This one I found really interesting. It's Get Out.
Get out! Yo!
Thriller.
It had its horrifying moments, but I'm going thriller.
Oh, definitely a thriller.
This movie freaked me out so much I've tried to watch it 2 or 3 times, but the way it shot felt so realistic to me, I couldn't get past the first 10 minutes.
I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, every single time. So I haven't watched the whole thing, so I'll go with whatever these guys are saying.
Horror.
Once again, Cassie's the only one who's right.
What?
84% voted horror.
Nothing new for me.
I'm so confused now.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
I don't know what's what anymore.
It is kind of surprising how people voted, even though I agree with them. The Shining.
Here's Johnny.
There's only one answer, and that's horror.
That's a horror.
I've never seen it, but I'm going to go with the crowd. Horror.
Horror.
I also say horror.
You got it this time.
Okay.
90%.
Just follow
Cassie. We finally got a win.
Just follow Cassie. All right, you got way more of these, right?
I think I have 5 more.
Okay, let's save these for later on in the show. That's a very good start, but we're all very confused.
All right.
The Burt Show.
All right, let's talk breakup breakdown here and love bombing, because if Abby didn't get the classic lesson in love bombing over the course of the last couple of months, I don't know what else you'd call it.
Yeah, speaking of horror films, let's talk about my love life. I had such a whirlwind this weekend where I feel like I lived out an episode of my podcast within 48 to 72 hours. If you missed this all this week, I was in London doing something stupid. Following
no, you
it was
didn't.
Not stupid.
It was really stupid.
No, it wasn't. This is me putting a PSA to all the young girls who are listening. Do not buy a plane ticket for a man. They will all let you down.
This is not what Hollywood has taught us for years and years and years. And you took a shot. It wasn't stupid. You took a shot, a big shot.
I took a shot. It hit the wall and then it hit me right in the face.
You took a gamble. You put it all on red. And unfortunately, it landed on black.
Yes. So anyway.
Always bet on black.
Yeah.
So I'll give most like a brother would have done that to you.
So I'll give you the 20-second rundown. Went on a vacation to London, met a guy. It was amazing. Flew back to go see him, but also wanted to get some work done while I was there because, you know, men can't be the center of your life. So before I met this guy, I decided to do some recordings for my podcast and got to connect with some experts and had some really interesting conversations that will eventually come out on the Breakup Breakdown, which is my podcast on Burt's Network Pioneer. And I talked to this woman named Kate Mansfield, who had a conversation with me about love bombing. And it's so funny because I had an episode yesterday come out about love bombing. And it's kind of the extreme example that you think about when it comes to love bombing. I had an episode come out yesterday about this woman who met this guy and they just instantly had incredible chemistry. Everything is just going so well. He's obsessed with her. She's obsessed with him. And about a month into the relationship, he takes her ring shopping. And she's like, this feels a little weird, but like, maybe he's just excited. And then a month and a half into the relationship, she gets pregnant. And so he's like, huh, little did you know, while we were ring shopping, I decided to actually purchase the ring. So good thing you're knocked up, because now we're getting engaged. So they get engaged. Something happens in the relationship like a month later where he decides he doesn't want to be engaged anymore. And we had a conversation about love bombing and what that felt like for her. And I remember kind of being a little bit judgmental is not the right word, but I remember thinking, oh, if that ever happened, that would never happen to me. A guy takes me ring shopping. Like I would be running for the hills, even if your gut tells you no. But then I experienced what I think is maybe a more watered down version of love bombing this weekend. And I fell victim to it. And I think it's just kind of the perfect example is that nobody is immune to getting manipulated by somebody. You know, you can listen to somebody's story and whether it was mine or somebody else that you've heard on the podcast and see it from 6,000 feet and go, I would never do that. I saw the red flags. I can't, Abby, stupid. You're saying you would do that and buy a plan. I knew what was going to happen all along. Mm-hmm. And you have that because you have hindsight and you're not in it and you are not living that person's experience. So for me, when I flew out to London, you know, I was all up in arms and excited about it because this guy gave me a forehead kiss at a bar and I was obsessed. I was like, this guy takes me to bars and he makes me feel protected. And he's saying he wants to buy plane tickets to come see me in Atlanta. Like, this guy clearly has strong feelings for me. And then long story short, ends up being an absolute D-bag. And it's so funny that I'd had that conversation literally hours prior to meeting this guy for this date that I was talking to this expert who gave me a definition of love bombing that I had never heard before. Because for me, when I have talked about love bombing before on my podcast, which I've done for 3 years, so we've talked about it a lot, is that I've always put it in the category of manipulation. Like, this is something that somebody is doing to manipulate you, which is still true. But I think the way that she put it into layman's terms for me, like she explained it to me like I was five, I was like, this makes way more sense. And it gave me the clarity to realize after all this had happened that I had been love bombed. And she basically said, you will know you're being love bombed with how they respond to your boundaries. So for example, just because a guy gets excited about you and a guy gets excited that and sends you flowers and makes these fancy dinner reservations and says he wants to book a trip for you doesn't mean he's love bombing you. He really could just be excited. But when you say this feels a little fast, something doesn't feel right in my gut, because trust me, like women especially, your body will tell you when something is not right. and you say, hey, let's slow it down a little bit, and they don't respond well to it, when they see that boundary as a threat and not as a way to build a relationship with you, you've been love bombed.
Thank you for that.
And using your situation as the example of that lesson, when did that occur for you?
That's a good question. For me, I think it came down to how he responded on the second date. Because, so the first date, you know, was great. He was very affectionate and, you know, we had a great time. And then the second date comes around and it's kind of the same old, we're popping to bars. He's saying, I want to take you to this bar because that's where we met. And, oh, I know you love to dance. Let's go downstairs. And those are all things that I don't think make him a love bomber necessarily. But then we go back to my hotel room and he walks me back and he's expecting something that I'm not willing to give. And I say no. And looking back on all those gibberish text messages, I'm kind of realizing, he was pissed. Mm-hmm. And I think a guy that is not love bombing you and a guy who wants to build something with you and is genuinely excited about who you are as a person is not going to throw a hissy fit because he didn't get what he wanted.
That's a fact.
They're going to respect your boundaries right. For sure. So I'm so glad we're having this conversation because after, you know, hearing your story and trying to figure out, like, it, as a woman, when you're in it, because it's so easy after the fact. It's so easy to have hindsight and be like, God, I was love bombed. But what I want to get out of this is, like, when you're in a relationship and somebody is doing something nice for you that you don't automatically think it's like for nefarious reasons. Like, I feel like now, you know, no matter, I feel like a guy's screwed no matter what he does. You do something, you don't do anything, you're a loser. You do a bunch of stuff, you're love bombing. It's like you can't win. So it's like, how do you know when something is genuine and how do you know when somebody's doing something for, like, authentic, altruistic reasons? And now we know it's the reaction to the boundaries.
Yeah. Well, love is selfless. And so if somebody is doing something to you or doing something for you with selfish intentions, that's probably not true, genuine feelings for you. It's him trying to get something out of you. And, you know, I think had it been in Atlanta, I probably would have been more apt to just kind of brush him to the side. But I think, you know, women can kind of get caught up in the story of it all. And I think it speaks to kind of, I don't mean to say slim pickings out there, but I got excited about a guy who held my hand. You know what I mean? Like, that's how brutal it is out there that I was so excited that a man treated me with the bare minimum kindness that I was willing to fly across the freaking ocean. I mean, let that sink in. Like, that's how brutal it is for people who are dating out here. So again, if you are in a happy, healthy relationship, hug your loved ones today because it is cold out here in these streets.
The name of the podcast again is Breakup Breakdown.
Breakup Breakdown. You can find it wherever you get your podcast. Again, the episode this week is about love bombing. Real crazy story this week about a woman whose engagement ended like 3 months in after the relationship started 3 months prior. And then tomorrow the episode will drop about love bombing with Kate Mansfield. Really cool conversation I had in London.
The Burt Show.
Do you remember it was a couple of days ago we were asking ourselves what petty hill would we die on? Like, what superficial thing that you believe that most others don't, but you believe it so passionately that you would die on Petty Hill. You ready for this one? It just dawned on me about a week and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
I like the BlackBerry better than the iPhone.
What?
I can't even process that.
Now, not necessarily the screen. And Abby, do you even know what a BlackBerry is?
Yeah, I was not born yesterday. I remember all my older cousins had BlackBerries and I thought it was the coolest thing ever. But I agree that the iPhone is way better now.
The iPhone is better. The screen is better. However, if you had to put a percentage on how many texts that you have to backspace or that you mistakenly use one word instead of the other, what's the percentage of texts where you have to backspace or correct yourself?
95.
Okay.
About 75.
Yeah.
Yeah, 80%.
Okay. That's why I am so excited, and I shared this with Cassie last week. So I just got the new iPhone, but I hate texting on it for the same reason. I hit at about a 95% screw up rate.
You're the voice text guy now, though.
I'm not doing that as much anymore.
Okay,
it just takes too much
God.
Time.
I was hanging out with you, and it was like every couple of minutes, he'd be like, and then a minute later, he has his phone up to his mouth.
I'm trying everything here so I don't have to text. I've also tried that thing thing where you drag your fingers from letter to letter.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, that's horrible also. Uh-huh. Well, I found this device on TikTok. TikTok shops. If I ever go bankrupt, it's their fault. And it hasn't come yet, but it's the BlackBerry buttons that you put over the iPhone letters. You remember that? You remember how they were elevated and it was just much easier for me, at least?
It's like an actual keyboard, like a tiny keyboard.
Yeah. So you slip it over your iPhone and you could use those buttons rather than the iPhone. The problem is it's 2.5 feet long.
So it's essentially like a BlackBerry condom for your iPhone?
That's exactly what it is.
Okay.
That is exactly what it is, man.
Safe texting.
I can't wait for it to get here.
Protecting you from those typos.
Yes. All right, Mo. So there's a couple of analysts that got into an awkward moment, and now somebody is saying, like, maybe one of them should be fired, correct?
Yes, that is absolutely right. This moment went very viral, and it has been discussed ever since. So these two analysts on NBA TV. One, his name is Sam Mitchell. The other guy is Chris Mills. And I don't know what their relationship is, but if you've seen, once you see this video, it appears that maybe when they came together, there was some kind of budget to put the show together. And maybe because of Chris's experience, he got the majority of the budget, where Sam Mitchell was a coach before, but he wasn't necessarily an analyst. So maybe there was a little bit of tension, underlying tension between the two of them about the budget. And Chris makes a joke saying something to the extent of, you know, well, I don't even know why coaches get paid to be analysts. And then Sam, it was one of those responses where you feel like somebody been waiting for this moment for a long time. And it got so bad that he ended up doxing Chris and actually giving his address out, his actual home address, live on the air during a Golden State Warriors game. And here's how the initial argument ensued.
Surprised coaches get a paycheck for this show. You know, I think like maybe you should do this pro bono, my friend.
You know, last time I looked at my check, it's pretty close. So, hey, I'm taking donations. Why don't you come up off some of that money you got since you're over there bragging about it?
I'm not bragging about it.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. Did you rent your beach house out down in Florida during the hurricane? Or do I need to go on? How about your townhouse over in Buckhead?
Hey, what's going on here, Sam?
You want to call me out? I mean, come on.
I mean,
you screaming broke and hungry. Let's just see it. You know, I know what you have and where you live, young fella, so you need to stop.
I think we have snitches on the show today.
No, we don't have snitches. We have truth tellers.
Mitchell.
We have truth tellers, so you're the one who crying poor and destitute up here when... Do I need to keep going on further, more and more? Or do you want me to stop right now?
Go to this game between Sacramento Kings and the Golden State Warriors.
You're going to stop messing with me on national TV. I done told you about that.
Yeah.
Hey, do I need to give out the address? Because you're not at home right now.
Look at this. A game in Seattle? Yeah.
So I got both of these clips from at Legion Hoops. And just when you thought it was over, that was going into the game. They went to the game. They kind of broke away for a second. But when they came back from the timeout, Sam wasn't done. That's when he gave out the actual address.
Warriors rich in history of championships and now in the... That's your house.
No, that's your house, Chris. Oh, that's your rental property house.
There we go. All right, Warriors.
Boy, this game came too fast enough.
We'll be back at halftime and after the game as well.
Dang, bro.
So to put it all into perspective, after this, the two of them ended up getting together and doing a video together, but it really looked like damage control. Everybody thought that they tried to make amends and make it seem like it wasn't as serious as it was.
Yeah.
But it was too late at that point, so now people are wondering if Sam should actually be fired and took it a little too far.
Ooh, he for sure did. I mean, he put the whole family in danger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it's not his home. It's one of his rental homes, which I don't know if that makes a difference. Sam's defense was,
doesn't matter.
It was a rental home. It wasn't where his family stays, but
somebody's family stays there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, I mean, now granted, he poked the bear at the beginning. Like, it was a low blow what he said out the gate. Like, you play with fire, like, you're going to get burned. But
the doxing and sharing of the private personal information,
yeah,
that was way below the belt.
Yeah, and we probably should have beeped it out also, because it's just it's too much, man. Mm-hmm. When you give out somebody's address like that, now you're putting their life in danger. This was clearly bubbling for him as well, for over and over and over again. That's just way over the line.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I mean, he went too far. I don't know if anything has happened yet. From what I've seen, they didn't. He's not getting fired, but people are calling for him to get fired. Yeah. So I don't know what's going to happen to that NBA TV show from here on out.
But I will say this. I mean, if you're a producer on that show and you know there's tension, and now you know the nation knows there's tension, their ratings are going to go up.
They already have.
Yeah.
The Bert Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
The Real Housewives of sports analysts.
There you go.
You might even have me tuning in. If there's going to be a cat fight in the middle of a game,
yep,
I'm going to get my popcorn. Yep. I'm going to get my Sauvignon Blanc. I want to see it go down.
Look, when Shaq and Charles Barkley go at it, man, it's the best.
It's golden time.
I will tune in for that, man.
So the curse of Sabrina Carpenter strikes again. Do you remember we talked about this? I think it might have been last week or the week before. We talked about this curse that people think Sabrina Carpenter is putting, yes, on sports teams. Uh-huh. So this might hit a little close to home for some of us, because I follow, of course, Atlanta United, because we're big fans of ATL United. Mm-hmm. Game super fun. Great sports team. We love the Wags of ATL United. And so I was a little shocked when I saw that they posted a picture of Sabrina Carpenter wearing a jersey that I didn't recognize as an Atlanta United jersey.
Oh, no.
So she is wearing a royal blue jersey. She's holding a mug that says Au revoir, Montreal. And Atlanta United captioned it and said, singer was quoted saying, I'm so sorry for your loss, because Atlanta United beat Montreal last night. And the curse of Sabrina Carpenter is allegedly anytime she wears a sports team's jersey, they will lose their next game.
It's happened with the Phillies. It's happened with the Yankees. Whatever town she's in, she puts that on and that team ends up losing.
Uh-huh. So Montreal just lost.
By the way, shout out to Atlanta United social media team, because they are hilarious. Did you guys see when we played Nashville, our rival? They got a bunch of Nashville celebs on Cameo to say, good luck, Atlanta United, and then posted it the day of the game. So it was like all of the Nashville celebrities were rooting for Atlanta United.
That's hysterical.
And Atlanta barely made it into the playoffs, and they beat Montreal last night. Uh-huh. And you say she was wearing which one, the Atlanta United shirt?
No, she was wearing the Montreal jersey.
Okay.
Or the kit, whatever it's called. But I'm a little nervous, because I wasn't at her concert last night in Atlanta, so I'm a little worried she might have worn the Atlanta United jersey last night. So we'll have to see how the rest of the season goes for ATL.
Well, they won, and they just advanced against Miami, so no harm there.
I feel like it's brilliant, because at some point, teams are going to start paying her to wear the kit of other teams. Like,
All right, somebody called Child Protective Services on Cardi B, and she is mad. This kind of makes me feel the same way as what that analyst just did, where they gave out the address, and it put them in danger. So somebody called Child Protective Services on Cardi B and said that her children were in danger. And now she says she is hiring some people to find out who did it. And she says they are toast.
For motherfuckers who pop up in my house with cops and Child Protective Services, because you motherfuckers want to do an anonymous call involving my children? I promise you this. I'm going to sue Child Protective Services for coming to my house at whatever the time it comes, and I'm also gonna sue the person that did this call. And as soon as I wake up in the morning, I'm calling Drew Finley, because I'm gonna get to the bottom of this. I'm gonna hire the best private investigator in the whole country, because y'all take joking and y'all take a little too far. Don't you ever in your life play with my kids. Don't you ever in your life play with my motherhood or with my ex-husband's fatherhood. We don't play that.
So what's crazy is she's actually been in the hospital since Saturday. We don't know why, but she's like on Instagram Live from a hospital bed going after these people. So they better watch out, because Cardi B don't play when it comes to her kids.
She don't. She gonna get her mind out one way or another, no matter what her situation is.
All right, Liam Payne's father is still in Argentina following the unexpected death of Liam. I can't even, like, the thought of what their family is going through right now, not just from a personal standpoint, but also also just having to work with the authorities and you can't even really move past what's happened to your child because there's so much more to figure out. So right now, Liam's father is working with Argentine authorities in the investigation of his unexpected death. We already found out this week that they found pink cocaine in his system, which Lamar Odom spoke out and said that it made him hear voices. So as of this weekend, his father has been at the Argentine hotel where Liam fell to his death on Wednesday. And he is basically just there to, you know, make sure that everything goes smoothly with the investigation and also to get answers as to what happened to Liam, his kid. Mm-hmm. So really heartbroken for his family and, you know, just thinking about them and all the fans. I don't know if you guys have seen the vigils for Liam, but there was one yesterday that actually kind of made me chuckle a little bit. And I didn't know if it was too dark, but Liam was kind of known to have like really sexy music. And so, they, of course, they were singing some of the more heart-wrenching songs from the One Direction days around the memorial sites, but then they were singing his song Strip That Down. And it's so funny because it's such a somber scene, but then they're like, Strip That Down.
Hey, any chuckle in the whole thing, man. I think you might have mentioned this the other day. I think it was Justin Bieber that came out and said, because there were a lot of fans that were getting ripped on for mourning somebody that they had never met before. Mm-hmm. And Justin was just trying to say, you know what? Allow yourself that. If this is a person that touched you and connected with you, even though you never met them or shook their hands or had dinner with them or they never helped you move, you're still allowed to mourn their death. And a lot of people are doing that.
Well, because he was a part of our lives. I mean, well, I didn't know him personally, but still, like, that band growing up was a huge part of my childhood. So you're allowed to be sad.
And musical is a powerful art form. Yeah. Like, it really connects people and helps people through tough times.
All right, the former Abercrombie CEO has been arrested on sex trafficking charges. I'm going to tell you what message authorities are sending out now that he's in handcuffs on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.